The Gospel of Matthew, of course, is at great pains to depict Jesus as the fulfillment of all things Jewish. He's the new Moses. And one of the many techniques he uses in doing that is to structure his whole gospel around five massive sermons, in conscious imitation, I believe. Not all scholars would be agreed to this, but I think it's true. To the five books of the Torah, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Right? And of course, everybody agrees that whatever we know about the historical Jesus, the thing that was absolutely central to his consciousness was the kingdom of God. You can read John the Baptist. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." And then Jesus shows up after the baptism, saying exactly the same thing: "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." So the kingdom is absolutely central to Jesus' consciousness and Jesus' self-proclamation. But then we run into problems immediately. I think there's a window I had to sit and face at Brescia every Mass of Jesus in with a crown and a scepter and all the grandeur of kingly regalia. That's not what the kingdom means in the Bible, though. Again, we have something that happens over and over in the Bible. We have a radical reversal of values. So the power is not the capacity to overpower somebody, but to empower somebody. So to the kingdom does not consist of thrones and crowns and people giving orders to everybody and expecting them to be carried out. No, the kingdom is manifested most clearly in the life of Jesus, in the Eucharist, Jesus' act of self-donation, or in the foot washing of the feet. That, in the biblical view, is what kingly activity consists of. In other words, the kingdom, this is in common at least with the normal understanding of kingdom, is a social reality. To be a king, in the biblical sense, is to precisely be at the service of everybody else. Everybody else. And that's what it is to rule. To do what? To build up this community of the human race. We disparate, antagonistic, mediocre, wayward critters. That we focus on the kingdom as the centerpiece of our life, but the kingdom understood in this highly peculiar sense. So remember last week we had part of the kingdom, this thing about people sowing bad seeds among the good seeds, blah, 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 blah. And here we have these three more metaphors: treasure in the field, pearl, and net. And every one of those is supposed to be some sort of intimation of how we are to relate to the kingdom. This passage today says the kingdom is supposed to be for us what it was for Jesus, the absolute centerpiece of our willing and desiring and acting. So that we do all that we do with a view toward breaking down the barriers between us human beings which separate us. That's the kingdom. And so Matthew puts it very dramatically in these little metaphors today. That's the centerpiece. It's supposed to be the absolute fulcrum upon which our life balances. That more than anything else, we seek the kingdom. Remember that famous line, "Seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be added to you." Because if we create this community that is the kingdom, then what else do we need? If we have a loving community, what is more important than that? See, this is really important because I think everybody has a job in life, you know. We all have desires. But all those things are supposed to be focused on the achievement of this transformation, where I seek the good of everybody else and seek to dismantle, as I said, these eternal, seemingly eternal barriers. And that's why these, a couple of these parables talk about the fish and weeds, because it doesn't admit of easy observance. The kingdom is basically a mysterious thing. You don't know where it is. I mean, we get intimations, those few moments in our life where we really do seem to want to be open to everybody, where we do establish moments, and unfortunately, at least in my life, they're only moments of real intimacy, real mutual transparency. See, this is all by way of contrast with this nutty notion of God sitting on a throne someplace and giving orders to everybody. That's not what God is about. The standard notion of the kingdom is God somehow being embodied in the lives of everybody. And that's why, somebody asked me again yesterday, do you believe Jesus was God? It's a perennial question, I think, and a good question. Well, insofar as Jesus manifested God's intention for what we human beings are to be, yeah, I think this is a great intimation that Jesus is divine. Jesus didn't talk about the kingdom. He enacted the kingdom. He was the kingdom on legs. And so we just have to be, because we have so much regal paraphernalia in the church, you know. Thank God, I hope he has a big yard sale at St. Peter's Square, that Francis can get rid of all of the vestments, you know, that Ratzinger loved so much, you know, going back to the 16th century and get some Medici rags, you know, I'll show those buggers, cloth of gold, jeweled mitre, blah, 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 all this nonsense. The Pope Mobile, the Mercedes Benzes. So here he was tooling around in a little Ford Falcon. So we can be grateful that he is at least pointing to the reality of what the kingdom is supposed to be, to try to disinter this creepy notion that we have. This is just like all the Henrys, France and England, just writ large, you know. No. Mm-mm.